This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Robin Williams is funny. This is Steppenwolf. If you've never heard of him, don't worry about it. This is the All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. Kim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Matt, and good morning, Marines everywhere.
Yeah, how's that?
And whoever else is listening, God bless you.
Yeah. Good morning to everybody. So how's a week? Are we a week after the stint or 2 weeks? We're 2 weeks after the stint.
After the stint.
So can you feel?
I'm still flowing. I'm fluid still.
Can you feel the difference in day to day life?
A little bit. My breathing's easier. A lot easier. Which is a big thing.
Yeah, that's not a little thing. I would say that's a big thing.
Yeah. Right. And, I'm moving around okay, but it's the breathing that's the, blood's flowing. The juices are flowing, as I like to say, a little faster than they were before I got sick. So, I think they're doing all right.
All right. So,
I'm in this camp.
I think I'm coming up to your neck of the woods in November.
Oh, hot damn.
Yeah, I'm...
Are we going to do a show up here?
Well, Mankato, Minnesota, so southwest of the city, so about 80 miles. So the guys who run the veterans program at Mankato State University... reached out to me yesterday and said, we'd love to... we're fans of the show, would love to have you come up. And so, awesome. So excited. And so we'll find out what we're doing. But, guy's name is Tim Adams. He's a Notre Dame grad and, he's a former helicopter pilot in the Navy and, he runs the programs and, been listening to All Marine Radio for a while. And, he said, hey, I'd love to have you come up. So maybe you could roll down and we could do the show together or something. So,
well, that would be fun.
Yeah. So we'll see. I will keep you posted.
Keep you posted.
There you have it. All right. Anything else exciting going on?
Well, it's got a monster street fair this weekend.
Oh, really?
Shutting off 3rd Street, part of 4th Street, and concerts tonight and tomorrow night in the town square. Next weekend is a big concert behind the Toasted Frog, where Lola's used to be.
Yes.
And down in that little flatland area, which is where I think all concerts should be, but that's just me.
It's interesting phenomenon, though. If you live in a university town, we just talked about Mankato is one of them. Grand Forks is another one. You know, the population, the indigenous population, if you will, is about,
70,000 people.
I think, okay, we'll call it 70. And then, but when school's in session, you know, the school's about 12, Yeah, the school's about, I don't know, 10,000-12,000 students, something
14,
like that.
14,000 people.
Yeah, and so
14,000 students.
Yeah, you notice it around the city. Everything's busier. The businesses notice it. And so life picks up once school starts again in university towns all across the country. And
it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so you see this. So when you go to the street fair like that, what do you look for? Do you still look for art? Kim's a big art collector, and so are you still looking for art, or are you just going and hanging out?
Well,
what are you doing?
We go around and look at the, you know, what's offered. There's all kinds of booths and crafts and things and artists. Lots of food trucks. Music is spreading out on these art weekends where there's several venues in the downtown where the music is being played. So, and the Alley of Love is active. The Kim Holmes Alley of Love.
We love that. We love that. Any guy who has an alley named after him is certainly worth a conversation or two. Do you remember a guy who used to work at Happy Harry's? I had him on the program. Didn't know he was from Grand Forks. His name's Anthony Dries.
Yeah.
He was wounded. He was wounded during the Gulf War. He got cancer in that leg and had to have the leg removed at the hip. But he's got this incredible story, and I had him on the program a week ago. And before he came on, I watched a little video about him, kind of just learning about him. And then, I don't know, 5 minutes before he came on, I look, and I see that he went to the University of North Dakota. And I'm thinking, how do I know this guy? Like, what do I know this guy? So it turns out I don't know him, but we know a lot of the same people. And he said, yeah, no, I know Kim Holmes, I know Joe. I used to work for Hal Gershman, and so I met Kim through Hal. And it was old home week.
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. But he does great stuff, helps people transition, and helps them look at their transition as not a 12-month event or 18-month event. It's going to be a 15, 20-year event. So a little bit longer lens, and I think which is appropriate. So, but anyway, kind of small world, kind of small world stuff. I got an email question for you. Mac, I have a series of questions about about very, very common foods. And I'm wondering if the chef can give me some pointers. One, scrambled eggs. Are there any secrets to making great scrambled eggs? Oh, interesting.
Well, the big deal with scrambled eggs is you need a large pat of butter in the sauté pan. And I had it when I had the Blue Parrot breakfast restaurant, I had omelet pans and then I had pans where I made special scrams in, special scrambles, that, you know, like, let's say sausage, spinach, a little garlic and mozzarella cheese or jack cheese. That was called the Italian scram with mozzarella. And the cheese goes in, just after the eggs go in and you stir them around and they start to coagulate. But the key to scrambled eggs, no matter what's in them, is do not overcook them. Do not make the eggs too hard. You want them to be fluffy, so you whip them before you put them in the skillet. And some people will take a couple tablespoons of cream and add to that. I generally didn't. It's the butter that's the key, and you don't overcook them, and you can, the combinations you can make with scrambled eggs and, like, say, tomatoes, green onions, diced ham, or peppers, hot and mild peppers if you want. You can mix chopped up bacon and scrambled eggs. Now, I used to have sections where I just had special scrams. And then I listed several types of scrambled eggs with stuff in them. But people who wanted just straight scrambled eggs usually wanted a medium to soft. That means not quite soft means not runny.
Right.
Not any liquid, but just past that point. They're together, but they're very loose and moist.
All right. What about what's the purpose of milk in scrambled eggs?
just to make more of them.
Right. That's what I thought. No, honestly, yeah. I mean, why? Where did that trick? Yeah. Where did that trick come from? It was somebody that was trying to stretch the egg and feed three kids instead of two without having to buy more.
Now, another tip for scrambled eggs. Say you're having people over for breakfast or you're fixing scrambled eggs for your family and you don't want, say you're doing a dozen eggs. You've got four people and everybody gets kind of three eggs there. And so you whip them up in a bowl, either a glass bowl or a stainless steel bowl. Ceramic bowl, it does not matter. And you use a wire whisk. You add your salt and pepper or whatever seasoning you want. Usually I just put a little salt and pepper in. And then lots of butter in your saute pan.
Right.
And usually the saute pans, when you're making scrambled eggs, should be a Teflon type pan. That distributes the heat, you don't constantly stir them because then you get these little bits, but you want them to be, pieces of scrambled egg you don't want to overcook them. But one of the tips to doing scrambled eggs for a large party so they don't get hard is you take a 4-ounce piece of cream cheese, say we're doing a dozen eggs.
Right.
And you dice those up into little half-inch squares. Okay, that's a regular stick of Philadelphia cream cheese is 8 ounces. So say you just take half of that. Or whatever, however much you like cream cheese, but I would recommend half to start. And then you pre-cube that. And when the eggs are just about halfway done, then you throw all that cream cheese cubes in the scrambled eggs. You mix the scrambled eggs up and finish cooking them. And then you can put them on a platter, if that's the way you do it, or you portion them out to different plates. And what this cream cheese does, it doesn't harden. Like if you use cheddar cheese or Swiss cheese, that would harden because it's not a soft cheese. It's not a cream cheese. You can do the same thing with brie, but cream cheese is the champion. It's a Jewish breakfast trick to make soft scrambled eggs that stay moist and glisten.
Glisten?
They glisten, baby. And boy, you know, I don't know if you're like this, but if I eat a scrambled egg and it starts out nice and I'm having a conversation with people and I get halfway or three quarters of the way through my scrambled eggs with cheese in it and it's hard. And that just, you know, of course I'll finish it, but it's not the same when the green cheese makes the eggs moist all the way through, and so they're the same when you finish as when you started. And that's a little tip that I know most of you don't know about.
Yeah. Cream cheese. It doesn't just taste good, but there's a functional purpose to it.
Cheese is one of the cheeses that this fat guy can eat.
We've never done a detailed program about breakfast, and you did. That was you made your living having a breakfast joint for years. Let me get to another question here.
Okay.
Next question, Mac, is bacon. I heard the Gunner talk about baking bacon. How does Kim prepare bacon?
Well, I'll give you a little history. My mother used to take a pound of bacon and then just throw the whole damn thing in a skillet. And then if it started to cook, she'd separate it, and by the time the bacon was done, there'd be a ton of fat and little crinkled up pieces of bacon. To do bacon properly, you should take a baking sheet and preheat your oven to about 325 to 350. And then you lay out your bacon on this baking sheet. And then you, side by side. And then you put it in the oven and let it bake. Now, you can cook bacon on top of the stove. Most of us do. But the thing is, you don't want to cook it too hot, because if you lower the temperature a little bit, if you're cooking it on top of the stove, then it won't shrink up. You try to get the bacon, it kind of shrinks because it's bacon and there's all the fat in there. But to keep the long strips like we used to do in the restaurant, and we do full sheet pan, 18-inch sheet pans when we were doing our bacon.
Right.
And throw them in a wind oven, convection oven, at about 350, 25, and then bake them. And, you know, I don't know, 5 minutes, they should be done. You have to keep, depends how thick the bacon is.
Right.
If you have that bacon, that restaurant bacon, that you get in most restaurants that you can read the newspaper through, or thick cut bacon like you get at your favorite butcher, and they cut it the thickness you want it. That has a lot to do. You don't want to cook the temperature too hot, because then it all shrivels up. And in the end, folks, any fat that's left over from your bacon, and you can take your bacon out and you can put it on a piece of paper towel to take up the grease, if you so desire, and then put it on a platter, and you can put that platter back in the oven until you finish cooking the rest of the thing, but the oven has to be turned off just to keep it warm.
Right.
Okay. What are we doing
with the bacon fat? Why are we saving that?
Bacon fat we're going to save, and it's good to fry things in. I know it sounds god awful, but
it sounds disgusting.
Rendered bacon fat is good. The best French fries in the world are made with duck fat.
Are made of what?
Duck fat, or cooked in duck fat.
Duck fat. Yeah, but I mean, bacon grease is already used grease, so isn't it going to have a taste with it?
A bacon taste.
Yeah. So something that you would want.
Pork chop. If you're cooking a pork chop, put a little bacon grease in there with your oil, and it'll help flavor it.
Got it.
Just a little heads up.
Okay. All right.
I used to drain my bacon grease, and then I would cook different things. Sometimes I'd cook my fried potatoes in the bacon grease. Whoa. When I was doing home fries, those cube potatoes. So it just gives you options.
Okay. All right. Here's another one. What about omelets, Mac? Does he have any hints about omelets? I've, over the course of the years, grown to enjoy omelets because of all the things you can stuff inside them. Healthy yeah. things like spinach, onions, and other vegetables. Not so healthy stuff like cheese, but always delicious. Any hints on how to make a great omelet?
Well, the key is I used to make any cook I hired make me an omelet. People think omelets are just so what? Well, all great chefs make great omelets.
Ooh.
And the key is not to get your omelet brown when you flip it over. you whip up your eggs in a bowl so all the whites and yolks are incorporated. You put a little pinch of salt and pepper in there, and then sometimes I'll put in some chives, fresh chives, in that mixture, or green onions, and then you have a spatula, and you lots of butter, and you pour that mixture into a 9-inch omelet pan. That's what I call them.
Okay.
Little saute pans
that come up
on the side.
Right.
So it'll help you flip your eggs, your omelet, and then you let the eggs start to set, and you stir them around all the time so they don't settle in and brown. You keep stirring them, and it sets, and then if you're going to add something inside the teeth, it glistens on the side that you're looking at, that's above the top side of the omelet.
Yes.
And then you take that omelet and you shake it towards the end,
okay,
away from you.
Okay.
And you take the spatula and put it under, and in one motion, you have to practice, you go up, and you take the pan and you start and you bring it up and you take the back where your spatula is underneath the egg, and when it comes down you flip it over and that will form your omelet. Okay? That's how I did it, and there would be Sundays where I myself would be I was always the only one at my breakfast joint. I could crack 30 dozen eggs. That's two cases of eggs. 30 dozen eggs for a brunch. And that's making omelets, special scramps, and eggs, sunny side ups, over easies, scrambled eggs. And now, I got to where I would make an omelet, and say I was going to do a sausage omelet, or ham omelet, or a bacon omelet. And I would put that it would all be kind of pre-cooked. Not overcooked, but it would be cooked through. And I'd have a container of one of those, ham, sausage, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Bacon.
Right.
And I would throw that in the pan, and maybe I'd put some onions, some red onions or white onions, and you saute those. Okay? And then you add your eggs, and after you add your eggs, maybe you have some cherry tomatoes that have been cut in half, or you have some peppers. Now, if you like a crunch in your peppers, you throw them in. Otherwise, you saute them at the start, if you want them a little softer, and then you mix those around, and so they go through the eggs. And that was a style that I developed when I started the Blue Parrot back in 1980. But most people, like you get a Denver omelet, everything's inside it. It's
right.
The cheddar cheese, the right. ham, the peppers. But I like to have all those through the egg. So every bite of omelet you get, the only thing in the middle was the cheese. You following me?
I'm with you, man. It's all, you know what? That's how I do mine. I like throw the egg in there, and then I throw everything in there right at the start, and it soaks through. And I the thought went through my head, well, because I'm not very bright about, I'm like not bright at a lot of stuff right at the start. I have a learning curve that's flat, almost flat, a little bit inclined, but I've got to sit there and I've got to watch it and I've got to kind of think about it, and then it goes, and then I have a vertical learning curve. But at the start, not so vertical, pretty flat. And I wonder, like, well, how do they do it where the stuff's inside? Because I don't make comments like that. So anyway.
Well, you did it right.
I don't know
and
about
that. I used to go to this place in the Lower East Side in New York back in the late 60s, early 70s. And it was a Jewish dairy place. They didn't serve meat. They served fish, you know, omelets and things. But my favorite omelet was a sauteed onion and mushroom omelet with cream cheese in the center. And I'd order it every time. And that was my favorite omelet. You take sliced button mushrooms, you saute them, you put the onions in first because they'll take a little longer to cook, and that's the same with anything you do. Whatever takes the longest is what you put in first. And then the guy added the eggs, and when he was ready to flip it, he put a chunk of softened cream cheese, kind of like a tube of about an inch around and maybe 3 inches long. And then he flipped the omelet over, and that cream cheese would melt. And oh, my gosh, I was in the front row. But that was my very favorite. I still make that omelet today. But you made it right by putting everything in there, throwing the eggs in, but you don't put the cheese in. The cheese will make it all stick, and then you have a scrambled egg mix,
right.
mixture.
Right.
The cheese goes in very last when you flip your omelet. And then the heat of the omelet will melt the cheese. But your cheese, before you put that in there, should be at room temperature. Okay?
Ah, that goes back to bringing the meat to room temperature, so you should bring the cheese to.
You're paying attention. You always do.
All right. Next question. One of my favorite breakfast foods is hash browns. For whatever reason, the crust with a little butter and salt, to me, is to absolutely die for, and it makes the meal. What's the secret to making that crust?
Well, the secret is boil your potatoes. I just did them with the skins on. Whatever your favorite potato is.
Okay.
Living in North Dakota, we use Red River Reds.
Okay.
And I would boil them. And the key to good hash browns or home fries are you cook your potatoes the day before and you set them in the refrigerator to let the starches and sugars set in so you don't have gummy, like people who take potatoes and just grate them right away, they're slimy because you've got all that starch and stuff in your raw potato. So you cook the potatoes, you pull them out, you don't overcook them. You want them to be firm, but cooked through. Then you refrigerate them overnight. Then you take one of those graters, like a four-sided grater, and you take the biggest grate, and then you make as long a stroke of the potato down there, and if you want to peel your skin off, that's when you peel them off the next morning, and then you just grate the straight potatoes. I didn't mind having bits of skin in there.
Okay, so if my technique is I take a potato out of the bag and I slice it and I throw it in and I throw it in the pan, not so much?
Not at all.
Damn it.
Not at all.
I hate that.
You have to, if you're doing a breakfast potato, the potatoes should be, to do it correctly, should be cooked the day before.
Cool.
And I would finish my day at the Blue Parrot, I would take 5 gallons of red potatoes and I would steam them. This was when my restaurant was the last thing I did before I walked out the back door. I'd steam them. I'd take them off the burner when they were done. I would drain the water that was in the bottom half. It was like a double boiler thing.
Right.
And the 5 gallon part had holes in the bottom.
Right.
So the boiling steam could come up and cook the potatoes.
Okay.
And then I would drain that part. Then I'd put the potatoes back on so moisture could go to the bottom.
Ooh.
And then I put a dry dish towel, clean, dry dish cloth over the top of the potatoes to suck up any moisture from the top. So the next morning when I came in, I pulled that cloth off. It was moist from taking up moisture. And then I would take my potatoes and I would either cube them for my home fries with the skin on, or I would peel the skins off and shred them for my hash browns. I think everybody knows what I mean about a four-sided grater. They have different size grates, one for Parmesan cheese, one for medium shred, and one for the large shred.
Right.
Well, you want to use the large shred side.
Okay.
You can get them at TJ Maxx, and they're cheap.
Got it.
But you get one with a sturdy handle, and it's not a piece of tin. And it's under $10. And then you fluff these up, and I use a cast iron skillet. And I'll pull out my 12-inch cast iron skillet. Some people will use the 6 to 9 ounce cast iron skillet if it's just them. But for me, I like to spread it out and get the crunch also.
Okay.
I like the crisp part. And then you...
No, I do too. It's the best part.
You put some butter in the pan. You take your handful of shredded potatoes, you put it in there, you kind of pat them down, spread them out, don't pat them down too hard, right away, you spread it out, then you put salt and pepper, and then take about an ounce of butter and pour it all over the top, and you have your burner on medium heat, and you wait until you see the edges getting brown, means the bottom is getting brown and crusty, and don't keep flipping them. It's just like a hamburger.
Do you flip it at all?
You flip it once.
One time.
Right. Yeah, you flip it once. But in that, again, is you take your spatula when you're ready to flip, and you go around the edge, and you... You push it in so you get a circle, and you kind of pat it down so it's compact a little bit. And then you flip it over so the white side is on the bottom cooking. And then when it starts to, you can you know, maybe 3 to 5 minutes over medium high heat. Then you take a peek, and if it's, then you can tell how done it is and whether you like them or not. If, whether you like them that, if it's not cooked long enough, then you leave them on.
Right. But you know what? The secret to great hash browns is they can't be well done. I mean, the secret is that crust on the outside, but otherwise the rest of it's moist. And so,
oh, it's gotta be moist inside and heated through.
Okay.
And you want the crust on the top and the bottom, but the rest you want like the inside of a American fried potato, which is crusty on the outside and soft in the center.
Right. Interesting. The, let's see, one more question. How about breakfast sausage, Mac? This is a different email. I'm a huge fan of sausages along the lines of Jimmy Dean. I like patties, and I like it a little bit spicy. Does the chef have any pointers relative to breakfast sausage?
Funny you should ask.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Why have we never done a deep dive on breakfast before? I mean,
I have no idea, because it's my favorite meal to cook in the whole world.
Is it?
That's why I had the Blue Parrot Breakfast Club. I love breakfast because, you know, I like to get people, I feed people at the Blue Parrot, and they wouldn't have to eat till dinner or late lunch, you know. I was all about, and potatoes are cheap and plentiful, and the omelets, you know. Anyway, breakfast sausage. We will do a deep dive on breakfast one of these days. I guarantee you. You go to your butcher. You have them grind sausage, pork, okay?
Okay.
You're going to make your own patties.
Okay. Wow.
Unless you're a sausage guy and you have a sausage maker and the intestines to put the sausage meat in, I had for my joint, I had the butcher grind my pork to it was a coarse grind. If you want it, you have a finer grind. You have them grind it twice. But I would mix fennel seed. I'd take a mortar and pestle, and I'd buy whole fennel seed, and then I'd kind of grind it. Or if you have one of those little, they look like a little coffee grinder. I have one just for blending spices in. And you take fennel and you pulse it and you kind of chop it up a little bit. I'd pour that in. I'd pour salt, pepper, and crushed, chopped garlic and a little parsley. And if you want, spicy hot, then you put red chili flakes in there for spicy Italian sausage, and leave the peppers out if you just want to do not. Now, with this sausage, you can, if you don't want to use red chili peppers, you can dice up jalapenos or green chilies. It's your call. But the basic recipe is sausage, fennel. I love fennel. It has that licorice flavor. That's what makes great sausage for me. At least when I was working in Italy, that's how I discovered that. Fennel, pepper, salt, garlic, and parsley. And what you put in there after that, red chili flakes, diced jalapenos, it's up to you. And then you make your patties, and you don't want them too thick. You want the it's pork. So you want to cook it all the way through, but you don't want to make it a hockey puck.
You know, that's, okay. that seems to be a common theme in scrambled eggs, in hash browns, and now in sausage. We don't, overcooked is not a good thing. The okay, there's sausage. Here's a question, Mac. You left out fried eggs for those of us that are fried egg lovers. What is Kim's favorite way to make fried eggs? My mother used to baste our eggs, and so I grew up with that. Does Kim have a recommendation in terms of making great fried eggs? All right, can't leave that sector of the breakfast crew out because it's a big sector.
Well, when I had my restaurant, I had eggs just for up sunny side ups, over easy, basted, or scrambled. No, that's all I used those pans for because I didn't want any flavors from any meats. It had to be a pure egg taste. So I had, like I said, I had three sets of pans for my eggs. And one of them, they were little 6-inch pans. Put, you crack two eggs in. That's what, and the somebody wanted three, but it's usually two eggs. And my favorite way to have an egg is sunny side up. Now you don't want the thing, some people like to turn it up real high and fry it. And then it gets crispy around the edges.
Right.
But it's still a little, runny in the center.
Right.
I turned mine down to medium high. So you want the whites to cook. And a lot of people, when they want over easy, that means you have to flip them.
Right.
And if you don't know how to do that, you just make sure there's enough butter in the pan, and then you swirl it around before you flip them, and then you push the egg away from you, and then you flip it with pulling the front up, and that slope of the pan will create a little lip that will flip that egg for you.
Wow.
And if you do it, once you do it a couple of times, you'll say, geez, I can do this.
Because that's the rub,
that's
right?
That's how you get over easy.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you a question. I've discovered, right, that good metal spatulas are worth their weight in gold when you're flipping to use a heavier, like a thicker plastic one. Does it work when you're flipping fried eggs? Your thoughts on that?
Well, for me, I have been flipping eggs. I never used the spatula ever.
What?
But never. But, the only thing I used was a rubber spatula to flip my omelet over.
How do you flip eggs?
Flipping hard eggs for sunny side up, you don't have to. For over easy, I use the lip of the pan and just flip them personally. But if you're cooking on a flat surface, you have to have a flat, hard metal spatula. And you don't want a thick spatula. You want as thin a spatula as you can get.
Were you just hitting the table when you said flat, hard spatula?
Yeah.
You
yes,
were?
I was hitting the countertop.
I was just having flashbacks to Bill Clinton. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. I need to go back to work with the American people. Well done. That was for emphasis. So well done. I just had a flashback though listening to that. Very
well, I'm glad I didn't take you down memory lane. It's my pleasure. Yes, you want a spatula that's not thick, it's thin. My wife has one in our collection that she does her flipping with,
right,
whether it's fish or burgers or whatever, it's steel.
Yeah.
And then we have a Teflon pan that she has a Teflon thing.
But so okay, so describe flipping with no spatula. You're with no
Okay. I did that a little bit, but let's go over it a couple of times. You have two eggs and you want over easies.
Right.
And you're not on a griddle.
Right.
Or if you're cooking a bunch of fried eggs in a 12-inch skillet. Yes.
No. We're cooking two in a relatively small skillet. What do you do? How do you do it?
Okay, I've got a 6-inch skillet or an 8-inch skillet.
You're killing me.
Saute pan. Saute pan. And they're designed, the sides go up, and they're not too steep. They kind of flare out a little bit.
Right.
And go straight up at the end. Not too straight up, but that's what gives the egg hits that, and you're going up.
Okay. Okay. Stop. What are you using to push the egg?
Nothing. I'm holding on to the handle of the skillet.
Right. And you're okay. Okay. And the egg. So the egg's gonna.
The mini saute pan, and I'm shaking the egg back and forth make sure they're fluid and loose and move around the pan.
Got it.
And then I take that egg, holding on to the handle, I push it out, lift it up, and it's got to be a fluid motion.
Wait a minute. Okay, but you don't push it out. You tilt the pan and the egg slides, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You tilt the pan forward or down.
Okay.
And the egg slides, and then you pull it up and back.
So
that will flip the egg.
So you flip the egg with using only the pan, like people do with a pancake.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's professional level stuff, yes?
Well, it will make you a profession. You might have to, when you flip it the first couple of times, your sink is by your stove, then you might want to go over to the sink and practice flipping it.
Okay.
Because
we don't practice that.
Okay, then you have to be prepared to clean the egg up if you have a gas burner. To lift the grates off.
Okay. All right. I got one more question for you before you go bye-bye today.
Yeah,
no kidding. Somebody met Patrick in D.C. and says, Patrick thinks that Chef Kim is great.
Well, tell Patrick his check's in the mail.
Exactly. I'll tell him that. Final question is about spices. Hey, Mac, what is Kim's go-to spice besides salt and pepper? Myself, I use garlic powder and onion powder often. I also like to use smoked paprika as well. Thank you, Vacaville Man. What's your go-to spice?
Well, my go-to spice, I like Herbes de Provence. That's this dry herbs that is in a shaker. You know, it's in your spice counter or, you know, in this grocery store. It's called Herbes, H-E-R-B-S-D-E, Provence, P-R-O-V-A-N-C-E. It's from France. It's that type of blend. Or there's another one that I use called Fine Herbes, and sometimes I will also use the garlic powder and the onion powder, and I love paprika in my scrambled eggs and my omelets, and even smoked paprika. My wife used smoked paprika on the chicken breast the other day. Yesterday, and they were fabulous. Just fabulous. and she rubbed it, you know, with garlic and smoked paprika and fine herbs. And so because of my salt, I don't use garlic salt or onion salt. I use garlic powder and onion powder. And so those are, all three of those are great go-to spices.
All right. There you have it. The one and only Almarine Radio Chef here on a Friday. All right, sir. Well, first of all, have a great weekend. And
you too. Yeah. There's going to be lots of action.
Yeah, I will. I will give you a call later.
I will talk to you. I have to talk to you about the show in 2 weeks. So can I call you this weekend?
Yeah, I'll give you a call later today.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you, my brother.
No, thank you, man.
Thank you, everyone.
Happy breakfast.
Happy breakfast, and cook on, and flip those eggs.
All right, have a good one. That is the Almarine Radio head chef himself, the one and only Pete Kimball Holmes. The Gunner, coming up next, here on a Friday. Almarine Radio, next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.